Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're in Luke chapter 17. We'll look at verses 1 to 10. Have your Bible ready if you possibly can. We're looking in Luke chapter 17, verse number 1. As we've been going through this series of messages, we've concentrated on three words: observation, which really has to do with getting information. And information is facts that we learn with a purpose to do something. You don't want to get information on how to use a computer program if you're not going to use the computer program. And if we're going to get information about things in the Word of God, we should get that information with a purpose of doing something with it. The second area we talk about is interpretation, and that is explaining the meaning of something, because words have changed over the years, and phrases that were used 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem need to be explained. And then the most important area is application, and that is the action of putting what we have learned into action. We need to take what we're learning and use it. Now, first of all, let's just look at the information that we have here in Luke chapter 17, verses number 1 to 10. Then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." Well, let's look at the area of interpretation here. First of all, it says in verse number 1, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." First of all, who is he speaking to? Who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. Who is he talking to? The disciples. Now, we have the phrase, the disciples, in the book of Luke 7 times. We have the phrase, his disciples, in the book of Luke 23 times. When he says, the disciples, it's kind of the general disciples. And, you know, we have looked at this before. The word disciple simply means learners. So we have the learners. We've looked, and there's a great crowd of people there, multitudes, an innumerable multitude, the Bible says. Well, in that crowd, there's all kinds of people. There's hypocrites, there's spectators, and there's the learners, those who really want the truth. Some of those learners may be unsaved and looking for the truth. Some of those learners may be Christians and they're looking for the truth. They want to grow. They are the disciples. And so when we see the phrase the disciples in the Bible, it's not always referring to the 12. And then 23 times we in the book of Luke, we have the word his disciples, and that narrows it down to those that were with him. Now, it says that he is speaking to the learners. So that is going to include anybody who is genuinely wants to learn. Let me ask you a question. Are you one of those, or are you just a spectator? We are going to fit in one of these brackets. Well, he says to those who genuinely wanted to learn, it is impossible that offenses will come. An offense. Now, three times in the book of Luke, that has been translated as a stumbling block. And one other time in Luke, it is translated as an occasion of stumbling. Somebody is going to cause somebody to stumble. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto whom, through whom they come. He said in verse 2, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Well, that millstone, there's two types of millstones in the Bible. One is used by people, and a couple of men would grind with that. The other was a very large millstone that was worked by animals, by oxen, and that is the millstone that Jesus was talking about here. Now, that would be a very vicious death. And so who are these little ones? Well, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, which is really the only way to understand the Bible, if you look at this story in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, and verse number 2, it says, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. In verse 6 he said, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. In verse 10, he said, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It is a very serious thing with God to cause to stumble one of those little ones that believe in him. Then in verse 3, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, Jesus could have started out in verse 3 saying, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. But he didn't. He said, take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespass against thee. Take heed to yourselves. That phrase is found in the Bible seven times. Back in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 12, the Lord was meeting with Moses on the mountain, and he gave instructions, and he said concerning the rest of the people, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. Well, take heed, that's pretty serious. Then in Deuteronomy 11 and 16, he said, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Take heed to yourself. So it must be possible then to stray. Don't do that, he said, take heed. Jeremiah 17 and 21, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And that, of course, was the Old Testament law, where they were to do no work on the Sabbath day. When we get into the New Testament, we read in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 9, take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and to the synagogues, and ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Interesting. Now, I've never been brought up in a synagogue. This is something that is particularly focused on those people, those sincere, genuine learners, those Christians back there 2,000 years ago. And he said, you're going to be beaten and you're going to be brought before rulers and kings. What for? For a testimony against them. Interesting. Then in Luke 17, our verse here that we're looking at today, take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. We'll look at that a little bit more in a minute. Then we have in Luke 21 and 34, Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." We need to look at all of these. We need to look at the context. We need to ask ourselves, who's talking and who is he talking to? Get it in the context. There's a good study here. One more is found in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 35. "And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." Now, who's talking? Well, verse 34 says, "A Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded that the apostles be put out," it says here, "for a little space while they talk things over." You remember they had brought the apostles in because they were preaching in Jesus' name. So we have seven of them here. Very interesting study. We've just given you the references. It'd be a good idea if you got the Bible and took those and just said, "Well, I think I'll study these and see what they mean for me." Learn what the interpretation is, and then the application, put it to work. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, or just sit down and watch some more trash on TV and let the time go by and you'll waste your life. One or the other, no choice but to choose. Well, we come to verse number 3. He said, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Now, who are we talking about? Thy brother. Back in Leviticus 25, three times it says, "If thy brother be waxen poor," this is what you need to do. Then in Deuteronomy 13 and 6, it says, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother," which means now we're bringing the brother into the family situation, and you have some very interesting things there recorded from verse 6 on through verse 11 of chapter 13 of the book of Deuteronomy concerning family situations back there under the law during the Old Testament period. Then we get into the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, it says, "If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now here it's talking about thy brother, with the family, the Christians, the Christian family, any brother, anybody who's a fellow Christian. And this portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 18 has to do with church discipline. But he says, first of all, before you bring this before the church, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Then it says, if he won't listen to you, take a witness. And then finally it says, bring it to the church. Then we have Romans chapter 14, verse number 15, "If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." And that's a portion of scripture there in Romans 14 that's talking about how to handle questionable things. And, you know, it may not be wrong what you're doing. If it's going to offend another brother, maybe you just need to quit doing it. That's basically what he's talking about here. Well, again, back to our verses in verse 3 and verse number 4, we have three things here: rebuking, repenting, and forgiving. Let's look at it again. "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now, rebuke him. To rebuke is to express sharp disapproval because of behavior. Jesus rebuked his disciples several times publicly. Paul in 1 Timothy 5 and 20 said to the pastor at Ephesus there, "Them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear." Now, rebuking is not a pleasant thing. It's a very unpleasant thing, but there's a time when it needs to be done, not only if one Christian has been offended by another Christian and he's wrong, he needs to be rebuked. He needs to be settled. You don't just pretend it didn't happen. And then, of course, in the local church situation, the pastor is given the responsibility, "Them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear." That's difficult. I've been a pastor for many, many years, and that is a very, very important part of the ministry that I hate, quite frankly. I don't like it, but whether I like it or not is immaterial. The Bible says to the pastor, "Them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear." That's a very important situation. Well, we're going to have to close this broadcast off. We're going to pick it up here again in our program in the next time. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, we'd appreciate hearing from you, and we'd appreciate if you would pray for this ministry.